When I'm 64. And I'm, am I 64? I'm over 64, because I must be, because I'm a pensioner, aren't I? Welcome, everybody, to the inaugural introductory show of the Aid Stage, a new initiative by RPP, a programme that's dedicated at looking at matters and issues that are of importance to people who've retired and people who've gone beyond retirement. And my name is Brodie Gouzet, and I do a little bit with this radio station from time to time, and so you'll have heard my voice before, but a voice that you wouldn't have heard much of, because she's relatively new to the station, is that of Vicky Barber, who is not... I'm not going to say she's the co-host, I'm going to say that she's actually going to be much more of a lead host as time goes by. And the reason being is that it's very much a programme that is about... discovery and looking at the conversation as a whole. And we were very lucky to find Vicky, and the fact that she agreed to take over this show is, well, it, without her, I don't think it would ever have gone ahead. So, Ms. Barber?
Well,
Mrs. Barber?
I am a Mrs. Barber.
Mrs. Barber.
I'm not over 64.
No, you're not. You're absolutely not.
I'll just put that out there. I'm not over 64, so I still can sing that song to my husband, I suppose, of will he still love me and need me when I'm 64? I'd like to think so.
Sure he will. Who wouldn't? Tell us your background. Where did you come from?
Well, I have been on RPPFM before.
I didn't know. What
this
was that
oh, in? Many, many years ago on a breakfast show,
right.
Just as a guest, though. But that obviously was a little seed that was planted, and I've always sort of had the station in the back of my mind, and an opportunity has arisen.
It has indeed.
And and I have the pleasure of working with you. Brodie, you're like Jedi master and teaching me the ropes.
I think that'll change in the next couple of weeks. Anyway, now we need to have a quick understanding of the way that the market is. We know the peninsula has always been a great holiday destination from the 40s, 50s, 60s.
Oh, definitely, always. And
used to be a paddle steamer that came here in the
Wouldn't that be wonderful? Paddle steamer, yeah. Or even just some
anything
sort
other
of
than
a luxury yacht or something from Docklands to Mornington. That would be fantastic.
So that's how it got established that way, didn't it? It was benign.
Definitely.
The weather was benign. It was a perfect environment.
Oh, perfect location for a holiday. But I think we're now seeing that rise in permanent residents, which is also wonderful to see, and the extension of all the services that we have here from a community perspective.
It's close to the city, so you're an hour away from the city.
Oh, if you want the city life of Melbourne and that sort of arts and culture, and it's what
but you can equally skip quickly down to Gippsland and down to the lakes.
Beautiful, of course. We're
you can go over on the ferry and you get yourself down onto Lawn. You can get around from here, and weather wise, it's always benign. We always get that.
Oh, it's always better weather cooler, on the peninsula,
cooler summers
than in the city. Mm-hmm. Of course.
So, do you think we are going to ask the question of the boys? Whether they think that they're a magnet. And it'd be interesting to get that question, whether it's the chicken and egg theory of whether if you build the homes, they will come, or whether they are getting them from the local people. And I tend to think that perhaps I would have thought they were a magnet, but who knows? It may be just the local people that are saying, I lived up in town, I'm now living at my holiday home, I now have to move out of my holiday home into my retirement village and then beyond.
Oh, I think so, but there's also a growth in, the sort of more, I suppose, what you're still calling family demographic as well. So there may be people that are extended family.
Yeah. You know,
the grandparents are here and they've come down and they're moving down here as well. But knowing that there are all of these amazing services and retirement villages right here on your doorstep in this fantastic
We'll
lifestyle.
Find out as the show unfolds.
We will.
Well, our first interview today is going to be with the actual sponsors of the show.
Fantastic.
And we did that as a pre-record, and They have been not only generous to be able to support the show, but they're being generous with their time. And we're going to be turning to them to give us much more information about life in the retirement village healthcare space.
Fantastic.
So let's take the first interview from them. And after that, we'll have, I think, a bit of your music. And welcome back to the Age Stage. Now, this is a very exciting time because in this, our precursor show, we have with us today two people who are empirical in terms of the way that we have framed up this show. Their involvement is that they are sponsors, and this radio station cannot exist without sponsorship. It can't produce the radio programs it would like to produce. So when we went to Stuart Shaw and Peter Nielsen and said, look, this is what we're planning on doing, they said, you know what, we might like to have a bit of that. And so they've come aboard as our sponsors. So it's my great pleasure to introduce to you today two people who are going to be with us on this journey as this program develops. Peter on my right, and then straight in front of me we have Stuart. Guys, welcome to the Age Stage for the very first time on this, our preliminary show.
Thank you.
And thank you on behalf of the station for becoming a part of it. I know that you see this as a very real opportunity to get the conversation, and it will be a long conversation, with the group of retirees and with people that are entering that stage of their life, which is your core business. And as the months unfold, we will learn more and more about that world, both from you and from a whole range of other people that are coming in as our advisors and helpers and panel folk. Now, if I may start, Peter, can we start with you? We have just covered, in the start of the show, we covered what Mornington was like, or the peninsula was like, and where it's sort of been and the way that it's grown. So we've covered all that off. Now I'd like you to give us, if you can, a picture of what this area of Victoria means in terms of retirees through to aged care, how important it is as a space for that industry.
Okay, well, I suppose the demographics of the peninsula over the last 20 years, it's become one of the highest populated areas of people in their retirement years. And I think the reason for that has been that the Southern Mornington Peninsula has been a holiday destination for people for a long time. In fact, a lot of people from the sort of south and east of the Yarra migrated every year to the peninsula for their holidays, bought holiday homes, loved the lifestyle it provided, and when it came to their turn to retire, retired to their holiday homes. So I think if you look at the people that make up the area, as I say, there's a very high percentage of people over 65. There's a very high percentage of people over 80 who've been there for the last 10, 15, 20 years, having retired from the Melbourne suburbs to this wonderful lifestyle known as the Mornington Peninsula. So for what we do in retirement living in our village and in our residential aged care, we are providing the services and the needs of those people for the next stage of their lives, where the less active stage of their lives, but need the safety and security that we provide. So does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Yep. And I think as a broad brushstroke, that absolutely hits it. That's certainly what our research tends to suggest. The question really was that sort of chicken and egg thing, is whether it is drawing the people who were already here into villages or communities for retirement and care, or whether that has started and that's now acting as a magnet to draw people down here that perhaps weren't going to come to this space. But as you say, things like, it's such a benign climate that we have down here, it's always, you know, slightly warmer, cooler in the summer and warmer in the winter, is to whether you're in businesses like yours, both of yours, where you have villages that are dedicated for this service, whether they are in fact attracting people down onto the peninsula themselves, whether you are those magnets. Do you think that might be the case?
I wouldn't think so.
No?
No. We're just part of the social fabric
right. Of
the peninsula, as in other regions. I mean, you'll find retirement villages in housing is a fairly recent innovation, really since the early 80s. It really got going. Prior to that, most retirement living was run by the church and charitables and there wasn't a private sector so much as there is now. So I'm thinking that villages are a popular destination for retirees, and for that reason there are villages on the peninsula. When I've been at the village Glen for 25 years, and I can recall the early people, more than 50% of our sales were from people from Melbourne. That's more likely now, 25% of our sales from Melbourne, and the rest are from locals. So I'm thinking the fact that we're there means the locals can stay
here
with us, yep, rather than move back to Melbourne, which they don't want to do, because Melbourne's a far different place than it was 25 years ago for them.
Sure is.
Yeah, and they've made their community now the Southern Peninsula, mm-hmm, and they wish to stay there, and we provide that opportunity.
Stuart, you both have villages. Are your villages the same? Are they run on the same business model, even though that your businesses are independent of each other?
Generally, that would be true, Brodie, that retirement villages are based around a buy-in price of some particular type. We provide a range of services and supports, features, lifestyle opportunities, all those things that go together to making up a person's life with congregate housing. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the time, when you want to leave a village or move into a residential facility, there's a payout from what you've bought into. So the structure is similar. The specifics can vary from village to village, and that's what people always need to have a look at. But as a generality, the villages are pretty broadly structured along similar lines.
Because your family, aren't they? You've got family in a retirement village, haven't you?
I have family about to go into retirement village, yeah. Yes. Mm. And my question was actually for you, Stuart, is there's many different levels of retirement through then to aged care, etc. Should they all be under the one roof, or how do your villages meet with those sort of different stages that people will go through from retirement through to what we would probably generically call aged care?
Good question, but you're looking into at this particular time, Vicky, that all villages are different. Some villages do aged care in addition to retirement. Some do community care in addition to retirement. Some do nothing other than provide an independent living unit option.
Right.
What you need to consider is what is going to be your parents' needs going forward into the future, and where will those needs be met. Not everyone that comes into a retirement village will go to an aged care facility. You know, aged care facilities only cater for around 3% of elderly people.
Right.
So an aged care facility may not be the long-term destination, but you don't know that.
So is that a discussion best to have with someone such as yourselves from the village to advise and educate the family when they're looking for which aspect or which care model would be best for their parents or for themselves?
We would always say to people, what is your current state of health? Do you have any pre-existing illnesses or something that might impact you later in life? Do you have any genetic family history that might impact you in later life? And look at then what the needs you may have as you are getting older. But, you know, many people live a very ripe, happy old age
we're all living longer now, aren't we?
Absolutely. But in your home, where the home may be, mm-hmm, that may be a village, that may be in the community.
Yeah, look, I think it'd be fair to say that, and I think Stuart will agree with this, the people who seek out villages as their lifestyle are what we call the planners. Now, anecdotally, from my experience in this industry, probably 20% of the population are planners and 80% are reactors. Now, the planners are the people who think about tomorrow and think, where do I need to be tomorrow? The reactors are the ones who think, well, something happens, think, my God, what am I going to do now? Our clients are the planners. They're the ones and their families are thinking about what's the best option for them and what does the future look like. So they come to us buying into our villages well-researched. They know what they want. They know it comes at a cost. And the issue for them and their families is not what does it cost, but is it value for money? Would that be fair, Stuart?
Yeah, the value proposition.
The value proposition is, and I say to our residents and our potential residents, the Village Glen, there's no such thing as a stress-free lifestyle, but this is jolly close. And if there's a lot of anecdotal evidence in older people, the thing that affects their health the most is stress and worrying about things. If you can live in an environment where there's less stress, you're going to have better health outcomes.
Well, I want to thank you guys very much for coming into this for our opening show. and our introductory service offering to our listeners. And we look forward to having lots of Deeply Meaningfuls with you in the future. And again, thanks for your support of the radio station. And on that note, I think we will go and take a word from some of our sponsors. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you, Bradley. Thanks, Vicky.
Welcome back. So we here at the Age Stage have a guest who will become our regular legal guru, I suppose. Her name is Andrea Stanton. Welcome, Andrea.
Hello, Vicky.
I just wanted you to firstly tell us a little bit about where you're from, and then we'll go into what are some of the things that we'll be talking about when you come and guest with us here at the Age Stage.
Sure. Well, I'm a community educator with the Peninsula Community Legal Centre. We've been providing free legal services to Melbourne's southeastern communities since 1977. We find that around 1 in 10 clients are aged 65 and above, and so there are a variety of legal issues that these clients present with, and we'd love to come along and chat to you about those issues.
And what are some of those issues, Andrea, that we can share?
Sure. Well, the number one hot issue for clients is around wills and probate, powers of attorney and guardianship.
Right.
That's the topic of most interest to people in that age group.
Where there's a will, there's a war.
Well,
isn't that the way it goes?
Always the optimist, Brody.
No, well, it's a reality. Because I had an experience to do with my family, and the will was there were actually two wills, and one wasn't supposed to be there, and it was my father. And I said, no, let's get rid of that one. He said, I can't, I'm the executor. And I said, no, well, just go and talk to the solicitor. It is so hard to say to a solicitor, look, go back to that one. We both agree. It's perfectly all right. I just need you to, I want to give him the money. Just, I don't need, anyway, it's a long story. But it is very difficult, isn't it? Once you get those things happening,
if
your will's not right, you can get into serious trouble.
That's right. And that's one of the sort of key messages that we'd want to get out is that
how
it can help very much to talk to a lawyer, get some advice. And in the case of Peninsula Community Legal Centre, it's free to get some advice.
Is it?
It is. Completely.
Whereabouts
free.
Are you there?
So our head office is in Frankston, and we have branch offices in the Pines in Frankston North, also in Rosebud, in Cranbourne and in Bentley. And we have visiting outreach services at Hastings, Mornington and Chelsea.
How does outreach work? Do you go visit?
We go visit houses? Other community locations.
Oh, okay.
In exceptional circumstances, we can provide home visits, but usually we see people through our offices and our visiting locations. We also have lawyers at some of the courts, the Frankston Magistrates Court Family Violence Service and at the Dandenong Family Law Courts.
Is there a long waiting list?
Generally, we're able to give initial advice within a day or two. We have a telephone intake system, which enables us to get a very quick response. And we're also supported by a lot of volunteers. So 4 nights a week, we have services operating by our volunteers at one or other of our locations, so that we're able to usually respond to people quite quickly and then make arrangements for ongoing assistance for people who are particularly vulnerable.
Very helpful. A great resource on the peninsula then that we have.
Well, you can see people a lot quicker than you can see a dentist through the health system.
That's true, Brody.
But no. So if wills is at the top of the list, what would then be second? What would be the...
Number two is consumer complaints. So sometimes in relation to services or
so you're
goods,
who we go to.
We're who you go to. We get funding from Consumer Affairs Victoria, and we operate a tenant and consumer support service. So we're able to help people with dodgy traders and a whole range of different consumer matters.
That's so important, isn't it? I mean, how many people do you hear about that are being...
Scammed or hurt.
But they're just, and they're so unhappy, they're so miserable because of the consequences of the action of a miserable trader, whatever it person is, that it's almost like torture, isn't it? I mean, if you live in that state of misery.
That's true. And we don't always know where to turn to.
Where to go.
That's right. And in fact, consumer issues are the number one legal issue in Australia. There was really quite extensive research conducted by the Law and Justice Foundation of New South Wales. It was called the Legal Australia-wide Survey. It was done just a couple of years ago, the largest scale research into legal need ever conducted in the world, to our understanding. And what it found was that around 50% of Australians experience a legal issue in any given year, and the number one most common legal issue was consumer.
That's really interesting. The nerd in me likes that. information. That's dinner party fodder.
But as you were saying, Brody, the other thing the research found was that legal problems can have really serious adverse consequences on people. It can affect health, relationships, and a whole range of other things.
Yeah, well, I've been down that street, and I and my beloved and I, we had a problem once, and it does. It puts you to the edge of a nervous breakdown if you're not careful. It really can.
It can do, and there can be a vicious cycle where having experiencing disadvantage like disability, poor health, unemployment, being in disadvantaged housing, being a single parent, all of these things can put you at risk of having multiple and severe legal problems, having health implications, and then you can just get caught in a vicious cycle where those things can then trigger other legal issues, and it can get really tough. The good news, I guess, out of it is that people who sought help from a lawyer generally had better outcomes and were happier with their outcomes.
Yeah.
But that was the minority. Only 16% of people in the survey sought help from a lawyer. A lot of people asked family and friends and non-legal professionals. So
for advice and help.
For advice about legal problems. So we want to encourage people to chat to a lawyer and get help.
Get the right advice.
Well, I've always said that if I had a law firm, I would have a resident psychologist, because I think you need someone who can take you through the agony that you're going to go through and explain it.
Oh, I'm sure some of the legal service sees that side and the need for counselling as well.
Absolutely. And at the moment we have, through the Phyllis Connor Memorial Trust, we have a social worker based at our legal centre who's able to help clients with their non-legal issues.
Wow. That's great. Number fourth on the list, third on the list, sorry, we've only got
number three was tenancy. So we also have a lot of people presenting with issues with tenancy, sometimes because of financial distress. People can fall behind on their rent. Sometimes landlords don't keep properties in great repair, so there can be issues around the condition or repairs that are needed, and a range of things related to tenancy.
So again, a one-stop shop to get assistance in a variety of areas for legal matters that you provide.
Absolutely, and we're a great starting point. In the case of tenancy, we are able to assist people even with representation in VCAT.
Oh, right.
But in other areas, if it's not something we can assist, we can always be a good starting point and refer people onto a service or a firm that can help them.
There was somebody, a very wise man said to me once, with the legal process, you never get justice, but you always get the law. And that's an interesting concept about justice, because you think you're right. And the law may say, well, it looks like you're right, feels like you're right, but you ain't, according to the law, you know. And that's a difficult road to go down.
That's right. We don't always achieve perfect justice. It's certainly something that we keep striving for in community legal centres, and that's why law reform's part of the work that we do.
Do we need that? Oh, do we what? That's a barrow I'm going to go into. Anyway, in the months ahead, We're going to cover lots of topics. What other things are we going to be looking at, do you reckon?
Well, some of the other things that are certainly in our top 10 are neighbour disputes. Issues like things like...
right. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yes.
Fences,
trees, pets, noise, a whole bunch of things around neighbours.
All of the above.
And look, other things that affect people over 65 are also things that affect people under 65, like family law issues, separation, divorce, property settlements. Mm. Those are one of the most common issues. Other things are road and motor vehicle offences and motor vehicle accidents. Again, just like for the rest of the population, credit and debt problems are another common issue. Family violence and elder abuse is unfortunately something that we do see.
Yes.
A sad reality.
Yes. I'm looking forward to having a discussion with that one, because that abuse of the elders, because they feel so powerless, particularly if they've had a lifetime of abuse, you know, by their husband, whoever. If you've got a woman that's been mentally battered all through her life and the kids turn on her, she's got no, you know.
That's right. And you've correctly identified that a lot of the problems with elder abuse is perpetrated by children. And aside from issues of powerlessness, there's also the issue of loving the perpetrator and not wanting harm to come to them.
Course,
we have children who have their own relationship breakdowns as adults and move back in with the parents, but then might be exploiting them financially, might be physically abusive and controlling.
It's the wife bashing syndrome, isn't it?
It's a tough issue.
Yeah, it is. What else are we going to be looking at for the months ahead?
So otherwise we are looking at motor vehicle accidents, and the other thing is some grandparenting issues. So sometimes we assist grandparents with issues like having contact with grandchildren, and sometimes caring for grandchildren when they're children's parents are not able to do so.
Do we have rights as a granny? You're not a granny.
I'm not a granny.
No.
I'm a mother. Yes, mum.
Well, Family Law Act flips it around and says children have rights. So children have rights to know people who are important to them, like their grandparents.
Or not know them.
Or not know them, depending on what's going to be in the best interests of the children. So
I'm going to have to train mine to not know me. There you go. You have every right to not want to see me. Why don't you take me up on it?
I'm sure you're a wonderful grandfather, Brady.
Yeah, right. Andrea, having you on the program is going to be fantastic. Where would our listeners go to for your services at the moment? Is there web pages to go to? Or?
Absolutely. Yep. So if listeners are tuning in from the southeast of Melbourne, you can contact us on 9783 3600, or visit our website, pclc.org.au. And if anybody from outside of this area is listening and needs legal help, you can contact the Federation of Community Legal Centres, which is the statewide peak body that can put you in touch with your local community legal centre. And their number's 9652 1500, or visit their website, communitylaw.org.au. And I'll throw in one final one, which is... I'll throw in two final ones. Victoria Legal Aid's another option as well. They offer free telephone advice 5 days a week, and their number's 1300 792 387, or visit their website, legalaid.vic.gov.au. And finally, if somebody does have the resources for a private lawyer, you can contact the Law Institute of Victoria, and they have a free referral service where you actually get the first half hour free. So online, you can go to findyourlawyer.com.au or phone them on 9607 9550.
And the point is, don't be scared.
Absolutely right.
That's the issue. Don't be scared. You're not going to bite, are you?
Yeah, and there's a whole lot. Even if you don't have a legal problem and you just want to know a bit more about the law, there's now a website put together by the Victoria Law Foundation called Everyday Law.
And you won't get that out of Mr. Fain on the ABC.
I think they've got over 1,000 different resources there and links to other web pages, and it's continually updated. So that's a great place for legal information as well.
That's a great resource to know of.
Terrific. Andrea, thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate it, and we'll look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks from now.
Thank you so much. We're delighted to be part of the Age Stage.
Take care. Well, that's about the only thing I could find on the Beatles that was going to have something to do with phone-type technology. And it's a bit short, but never mind. It's going to be a signature tune for our technology component, and we're very privileged today to have with us Peter Bennett. I've got to get this right.
Peter Bennett Holland.
Holland. Right, got it. Okay, he says it better than
thanks,
me.
Thanks, Brody.
Well, I know. I'm just,
I know, it's a horrible, double-barrel name.
Well, when you have a name like Guzet, the world's always sorry for you. What's your name? Brody Guzet, I'm sorry? Yeah, I know, so am I. So we get that a lot. Anyway, Peter is, to everyone that's out there, Peter has two stores, don't you? You have two Telstra stores.
Yes, we do. We have the Telstra store in Mornington and the Telstra store in Rosebud, down in the plaza. And we also have a business centre. We operate the business centre, Telstra Business Centre in Mornington as well. So we've got, a breadth of different products and solutions that we provide to Mornington Peninsula customers.
Well, I asked Peter, because actually Peter has been a very long supporter of this radio station. He always pays his bills on time, which is terrific. But most importantly is that he recognises that the community radio is a vital part of the conversation and with the world out there. And when we started to develop the show, it struck me that we really did need something or someone, or at least a facility that we could talk to about the problems that elderly people have with technology. So between Peter and Chris, who's his manager, who's sitting at the back with a dreadful cold.
Yeah, he's not allowed anywhere near the microphone today. Yeah.
Didn't I switch you on? Are you on?
I don't think I'm on.
No, why aren't you on? I'll try that. Are you on now?
Am I on now?
Yes,
I am on now.
I was keeping her.
That's the way Brody keeps me quiet.
Between Peter and Chris, they're going to be appearing on a regular basis, and we're going to be covering off a whole range of issues that concern you. So if you ever write in from time to time, to the station news hour would like to be able to talk about this, which we will talk about in our proper new show when the show does start, which will be next week. This is to get people used to the new team. Then we'll be answering your questions and putting your questions that you have to him. But Peter, first of all, thank you for your ongoing support.
And let's
have a look at this issue with seniors. Now, mm-hmm. we're not the brightest people in the team.
Well, you might be surprised, but anyway.
Well, we invented most of it, but the trouble is we've now forgotten it.
It's 25 years since the internet.
That's right. Today.
Yes. Oh, is it today? Is it really?
Apparently.
Wow. That would be extraordinary. And we did Wi-Fi. You know, that came out of mm-hmm. our brains.
Absolutely.
So baby boomers have been responsible for all this wonderful technology. And, of course, now we're coming to the end of it. Unfortunately, we've got the new blood that's coming through who make changes at such a rate.
Yes.
We can't keep up with it. So what do you think are the big issues facing seniors today?
Well, I think the big issues facing seniors today are the same issues that affect everybody else in the community, to be honest.
Yep.
So, and it's largely around the rate of change of technology, which you've described. I mean, things happen much more quickly in our industry today than they ever have before. There's a raft of emerging new technologies, applications, devices, phones, tablets that are coming into the market at an ever-increasing rate. So it's not uncommon for anybody to, at various stages throughout their experience with technology, to have questions and need answers and want some support in terms of improving their understanding of what's coming and what's new in the industry. So I don't know that necessarily anything specifically for seniors, but I think there's a lot of technology out there that needs explanation.
But I beg to differ.
Also, please.
Well, I beg to differ on the basis that the young members of the community are always saying, give me the next, give me the next, want the next, want the best.
Yep.
And the ones that are my age are saying, will you please stop?
Stop changing.
Don't change.
I've just got used to what I've got. Absolutely.
Starting to understand it.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it's all going to fall apart. So that's, I think, so the markets are not the same. One is a huge adopter and the other one's a break saying, please don't.
Yeah.
So therefore, we would be the sort of people that would leap forward in a chunk.
Yeah.
So we go from an iPhone 2 to an iPhone 7
when
the other one has just slowly coughed and died.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the decision point for change is different.
Yes.
But the fact that everything changes so quickly and so frequently, but everything changes. So that we've got new technologies coming into the market, and one of the ones that's going to have quite a big impact on people is NBN.
Yes. Right?
So everybody knows.
That was going to be my question was how NBN. Does NBN affect?
Everyone knows it's coming, but what it does for people and the process by which NBN is rolling out into the suburbs and into areas and into households has changed since the very first iteration of NBN. And that, of course, is a whole new conversation that seniors need to have.
Mm.
They need to understand the implications of that, because once upon a time it was as simple as getting PMG to drop around and connect your phone line.
Yes, that's right.
Now the phone line ostensibly will operate in a completely different way, and it's a decision point. It's something that all people, all consumers, all businesses need to start to think about what that means for them. So
if someone had questions regarding NBN, can they come to you
and
ask you those questions, or if it is to do with technology, as Brody was just saying, you know, help.
Yeah.
So is there to speak?
Is there a good time, Chris? No, you can't talk. You sit there and stop coughing. is there a good time for a for people to come and see you when other people don't?
Yeah. So the first question is, can they come and talk to us about NBN and technology? Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep.
That's what we're here for. You know, we've operated these businesses now. The Mornington store is 12 years old. So we've been in the area. We know the area. We know the local techs. A lot of them, we know that the challenges in certain areas of the Mornington Peninsula. So yes, absolutely. We're one of those resources that you can come and talk to us about. As far as the time of day, or what is a better day, or how to best engage with the stores, there's a number of ways in which we can do that. So we can book an appointment for a customer.
Oh, right.
Okay. And a customer can come in and have an appointment, have an allocated staff member waiting for them to have the conversation to avoid the need to wait. Or the uncertainty about whether it's going to be really busy in the store on market day on Wednesday in Mornington or or whatever it might be. So certainly that facility is there that not a lot of people know about. And we also run a program directly aligned to our senior residents on the peninsula, whereby we have like a workshop scenario where groups of people come into our stores. Rosebud runs it on a Wednesday morning every 8:30. Every Wednesday morning at 8:30, where people can come along in a safe environment and they can just talk about technology and be mentored and shown how to use it.
Absolutely, have their phone there or whatever it may be.
So that's outside our normal sort of trading hour. So we don't get influx of everyday customers. We've actually got a group down there now that bring Tim Tams and come along with their cups of tea in a thermos and actually sit down and have a good conversation, one-to-one or one-to-two sometimes, depending on how many people are there. And that's that's a fantastic program that we've found in particular has been really well responded to in the local market.
I think that's a fantastic initiative. And Peter, in the weeks ahead, when Chris has got rid of his cold and when you're not busy, to stand in for you until you can pop in again. We'll be looking into all those things in much more detail. But I think that's a fantastic initiative.
It's fantastic. And to know that also you can just make an appointment to come in and have that one-on-one time because it is difficult if others are busting in on your question.
Absolutely.
Time.
And we'll start to unbundle the bundle, which is you serve bundles.
We can talk. We've got so much to talk about. There's mobility, tablets, iPads, Samsung tablets. We've got the bundles.
Yep. And Wi-Fi, the impact of Wi-Fi. Yep. Is ordinary television free-to-air going to disappear?
A good question.
Who knows?
I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to answer
that one.
But knowing that streaming is out there.
We're running out of time.
Absolutely.
So we have to go to this time. Peter, thank you so much for coming in. We greatly appreciate it. And this time, perhaps next week, we'll talk to Christopher where he's not got cold. and we'll catch up with you very soon.
No worries. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And welcome back to the A stage for this, our inaugural show. Now, that little piece of music, being a Beatles piece of music, is to introduce our special guest, who is going to be a regular guest on this show, a guy I've known for a very long time. His name is Noel Watson, and he's been in the automotive space for a very long period of time. He's worked with Nissan, he's worked with Ford, he's worked virtually almost with any important automotive manufacturer that you could imagine. And during that period of time, he has got a huge level of experience. And I've asked him to come onto the show in order to give advice to people on all matters to do with automotive, because we all have a car, and for senior citizens, that is an important element. So Noel, welcome to the show on this, your segment.
Thank you, Brady. It's lovely to chat with you again. I don't like the reference to a very, very, very long time. Gosh, it dates me about 1983 ending work. But nevertheless, here we are chatting about how to choose the right car for retirement. And it's a very appropriate topic to discuss because it's very important.
Well, as we've discussed before, you get to your moment of retirement and they say, here's your gold watch, give us the keys to your car, and your car evaporates. And then you've got to decide whether you're going to have your own car or whether, there's so many things that you can do. How would you treat that? You're not at the retirement age just yet. How do you think the average person, because you're not average, what do you think the average person should do when it comes to automotive selection on their retirement day?
Look, I think it's things have changed significantly. I mean, once upon a time, you sort of toiled until you were 65 and knocked off, you collected your pension, whatever it may be, gave up all those things that were work-related and went and played golf or, shuffled around with a few other friends. But it's all changed. And in the change comes the requirement change for what vehicle you choose. And some of the things that we need to be conscious of as we do get older, you and I both are guilty, if I can put it that way, of loving the sportier type vehicles when we were younger. And I remember you having the 280Z and, I had equally sort of a convertible type thing. But, we're older now and our requirements have shifted significantly. And it's ride and comfort and economy and all those other things. And one of the most important things that everybody just neglects to take note of is visibility. And I'll bring that to the fore because, you know, our peripheral vision does start to suffer a little bit as we get older. And we need to be conscious when we're buying a new car or a car that we've got good visibility, both night and day. And that reflects in the instrumentation panel. And some of the newer cars have covered instrumentation panels, which us older people struggle with. So when you're looking at a car, you need to be able to review it in daytime and nighttime conditions, because if you can't see the instruments properly, you're a danger on the road. So that's one little tip.
Well, this head-up display, which is all very trendy, doing head-up display, that can be a problem, can't it?
Well, it can be, because if you're not familiar with it, I mean, it can be quite distracting. And, you know, the last thing you need is distraction on the road. And if you've grown up with it and you're 18 years old and the car that you're lucky enough to drive has a heads-up display in it and it becomes commonplace, well, that's fine. But when you're 65 or 75, you know, it can be quite confronting. So that's one of the things that we need to be very cognizant of. The other thing is, too, you know, people don't want to sort of blow their nest egg on a new car if they can buy a demo car or they can buy a used car, because in the first 12 months of a vehicle's life, you know, it's going to depreciate something in excess of 25% usually. And, you know, you can buy a car today for $30,000 that was $40,000 last year, and still, if you buy it from the franchise dealer, you still have the factory back warranty and all the things you go with it. And inevitably, if you're buying a car from a dealer, let's say if you use a Subaru and it's 12 months old and you buy it from a Subaru dealer, the warranty will be in place and all the benefits will go with it, but you've saved yourself $10,000, and that's considerable in your retirement nest egg. So that's another consideration. I mean, if it has to be new, if you want to buy a new car, that's fine, but just be cognizant of the fact that it's going to depreciate pretty rapidly in the first 12 months. But other things to consider are economy. Diesel, is there a big trend in diesel? But some of the newer versions of hybrids and petrol hybrids are very, very, very good cars. I mean, they're very reliable these days and they're very economical. And some of the new generation petrol engines are also very competitively economical versus diesel. So, you know, there are some of the factors.
When we learned to drive, you know, we thought that 30 miles to the gallon was going to be extraordinary. And now, of course, you can get, with hybrids, unbelievable distances.
Well, that's right. And look, a tank of whatever it is, whether it be diesel or unleaded fuel or a mix of unleaded fuel and hybrid, I mean, you're talking 900 to 1,000 kilometres to a tank. So you're getting around about, you know, the 5 kilometres per litre, you know, 6 kilometres per litre, which, or 6.5 kilometres per 100 kilometres. That's brilliant economy.
That's been terrific. I think that's good advice. Next time round, let's have a look at a couple of the brands that you think are worth looking at in perhaps more of the ordinary domestos market. All right, buddy. Thank you very much for being a mate. Thank you for being a very important part of the show, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Okay, cheers for now.
See you, buddy.
Bye.
Well, that was Peter, and he was terrific. The interview that we've just done with him, the technology thing, I think that Telstra thing will be great.
Oh, I think so, we'll all learn something from that.
Yeah. Well, we've learned from Andrea, we've learned from all of them today, and the boys, it's all been terrific. Look, it's been a really good first show. Have you enjoyed it?
I have enjoyed it, thank you, for my first show, and thank you, Brody, for showing me the ropes.
Not at all. All I've got to do is teach you how to use this desk, and then I'm free. No, that's not true. I enjoy it very much.
I might be a slow learner.
Anyway, next week we're going to have our proper show. We think it's going to be on a Thursday or a Wednesday. It'll be one or the other. I'm not sure. In the meantime, we will have our out music, and we will see you next week.
Thank you.
From the A stage. Ta-ra.